welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Are you all good tonight? You all look so serious. Woo! I get a little woo at the back there. You know, it's always nice when the Lord offers you an opportunity just to stand at the back. And I can't see any faces when I'm at the back there. Obviously, spending time in worship, enjoying the Lord's presence as well. And then, he offers you, let me call it, insight into people's lives, which is really phenomenal. If none of you have experienced that before, I want to encourage you to trust the Lord to do that with you. You see, He offers me the opportunity just to stand there and to look at individuals. I'm looking at your backs, but yet I get a clear picture just of the diversity of the body of Christ. Eh? And then now that I'm getting to see faces and actually see who I was looking at from the back there, I'm always amazed just by true diversity that we have in this church and in the universal body of Christ. Unique people. You are all unique in worship, and just you in worship speaks volumes about who you are, what's going on in your life. Simple things. Please don't be cautious of what you're going to do next time when you're in worship. I don't want to scare you, but it's nice when you stand there and the Lord just allows you to look straight into people and just see something unique about the individuals that you're going to speak to. And God's good for that. He affords you the opportunity to get to know the people that you would speak to. He shows you a little bit about them. Maybe what's on their heart, maybe what makes them unique, maybe what makes you special. You're all special, yeah? And I'm really encouraged just by, I'm really picking up a lot of intellectualism, some definite unique people, yeah? I can't put words to what I see when I say unique, but talented people. The Lord is just showing me a lot of outflow of talent and personality and characteristics and great things about you. And church, I want to encourage you, be all that you are for Christ. He's shaped you, formed you in a unique way. You're special, yeah? There's not another you. So be you, because there's nothing wrong with you. And it's just nice being able to see all of this pan out, especially in church. Now, I've come to know many of you personally. And the one thing that I've come to know about individuals in this church is that your uniqueness has really been like a stamp on life. Eh? The things that you're about, the things you do every single day of your life. I know many of you, it's as if you have this big rubber stamp, and this is what I am in life, and this is what I do every single day. So I take the stamp and I come cry for you. Come get some. Eh? That's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. Human credentials, eh? Human credentials are important, and many of you, you take that big rubber human credential stamp and you stamp it onto life and you make your mark. And I want to encourage you around that as well. You continue to do that because the Lord finds pleasure in that. But on the flip side, I have a question for you tonight. As Christians, as believers, does your presence stir any change in your areas of influence, your spheres of involvement? You know what I'm talking about, eh? The place where you find yourself every day, the place where you take that big rubber stamp and you smack it down onto life and you tell life, here I am, I've arrived. Come and get some of me. You see, when it comes to human credentials, it's easy for us to be influential in the world. We study towards it. We work towards it in a good manner. We strive towards being influential in the world. But now, there's a flip to the coin. As Christians, as believers, does your presence bring about any change in your spheres of influence? If so, because you're all trying to answer that question right now, I can see it in your faces. Yeah? Some of you got an answer. Some of you are looking very bewildered right now. And that's fine. But I want to say to you, if so, if your Christian influence brings about change in your areas of involvement, why then even viewing our numerical advantage that we have in the world today now, statistically, people, the Christian faith is bigger than what it's ever been. The church is bigger than what it's ever been. Christianity is at its peak in terms of following. Taking that into consideration, why is the Christian influence so insignificant in the world today? Any of you ever think about that? Yeah? The church is stronger than what it's ever been before. But yet, Christian influence, insignificant in the world that we live in today. And it's this that stirs things in social media and in modern literature today. You know, the six reasons why people don't come to church. The six reasons why people come to church but they don't stay in church. The six reasons why people commit to church. You guys know what I'm talking about, yeah? There's a lot of this work being put into surveys and literature concerning all of this, concerning influence, Christian influence. And, you know, through all the time spent on social media, analyzing the flaws of the church and what we do well and what we do wrong, and analyzing people and why people are into church and why people are not into church, it's a simple reason. It's all about influence. Influence that was lost by one simple thing. The day we created a division between the spiritual and the secular. We are not solely responsible for that. As Christians and believers, yes, we play a major role in that, but I want to say to you that people on the outside, unbelievers, are just as influential in creating that divide between these two things, the spiritual and the secular, God and the world. And it's because of this divide that we're forever going to be searching for answers to things that don't work. We're always going to be wanting to scratch deep into people's lives and analyzing heads and doing a whole lot of things, a whole lot of surveys, but it's simple. We've divided two things that you cannot divide. Impossible. You see, the repercussion for us as believers concerning this divide is that the anointing that exists in the modern day believer has been confined to the walls of this very building. Okay? The anointing that exists in the modern believer has been confined to the four walls of church. We are facing a lot of strife and a lot of struggle. We lost a lot of headway in the world because of that. And church, I want to encourage you. The time has come for us to stop it. The time has come for us to re-engage and abolish this division between the spiritual and the secular. Tonight, I want to share a passage of Scripture with you. I just need these things. I put them down, but I forgot. I still need to read. Not as young as I wish I could be. There we go. You see, I printed. I didn't read out of the Bible because the print's very small. I need to print like font 14, font 16 to be able to read to you. Otherwise, I need to get someone up here to read on my behalf. Guys, I want to share a passage of scripture with you tonight. This is my all-time favorite passage of scripture. This is a passage of scripture that I've come to define as an outward expression of passionate desire. Yeah? A single, sincere, heartfelt outpouring of the Lord Jesus to our Father in heaven. There's something beautiful in this passage of Scripture that I promise you holds the keys to unlocking a lot that we're struggling with today. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to John chapter 17. You can read with me up on the screens. We're going to read together from verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world." It's a long passage of scripture. Sorry, I'm going to break it there. Just shake. Shake. Get your coolant flowing, yeah? Your antifreeze. Get your antifreeze flowing. Sorry to break there. I'm going to ask you, hold in here with me, yeah? This is the entire John chapter 17 we're going to read. I need you to hold fast with me, okay? The Lord's going to unlock something, but you can't miss him. "I've manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Shake that antifreeze. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's pray for this message before we get going. Father, today we thank you for the immense privilege to climb into your word. Lord Jesus, today we ask that you open up your word, and you show yourself to us. Lord Jesus, may you reveal to us the heart of the Father. Lord, that we may be all you desire us to be. We honor you. We open up ourselves to receive from you tonight, Lord. May you be glorified in and through every single one of our lives. And this we pray in your mighty name. Amen. An entire passage of Scripture, a passage of Scripture many of you may know, Jesus' prayer, Jesus pouring out his heart to the Father. I want to draw from this specific chapter five key pillars of truth. I'm showing you four. I'm holding on to one. I want to show you out of this chapter five key pillars of truth that will assist us in abolishing that division between the Christian faith and the world. For a simple reason, many can ask why. For a simple reason, God does not see a divide between the two. As long as we're going to divide the two, we are going to be ineffective. We're going to live in a world of dispute. We're going to live in a world of offense. We're going to live in a world of disagreement. And we've been in it long enough. As Christian followers, we are not called to debate the truth. We're called to stand up for what we believe in. We're not called to get into mudslinging over things that we are meant to know is true of the triune God. You see, we need to take the step. We need to take the step because it's not something that can be driven by emotion. This can't be emotion motivated for us to make this change. We need a clear understanding of our biblical mandate. And when we have that, we will have an understanding of God's heart for what He wants to do on this earth. The first pillar is God Himself. I say to you that God is not only a God of the spiritual, He is a God of the secular as well. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to encourage you in this truth that God is not only a God of the spiritual, He's a God of the secular. Let's go all the way back to day number one, day number two, day number three, day number four, day number five, day number six. God created the heavens and the earth. And when He was finished, His words was, and it is good. Everything He created, He looked down at it and He said, and it is good. I promise you one thing, that God looks down today at everything He created. He utters the same words, it is good. There is not one thing in this world that cannot be used for good when it's sanctified to the purposes of God. Everything around us created by the Almighty. And He loves it. He loves it today. You know how I know that? If He did not like what He's seen around Him, He would have started over. He's done it before. Eh? You remember the Noah story? You know what that was? God ejecting the tape on creation, putting in a new one and starting over. God hasn't done that. Which means that what's around Him today is still good to Him. Still good to Him. He still loves it. He still sees good in it. God is not only a God of His covenant people, God is a God of the nations. Many people challenge me on this. They take me back to the Old Testament. Yeah, he gets referred to as the God of Abram, Israel, and Jacob. What are you trying to say to me? It's my question. If you understand why they referred to God in that way in those days, you would understand what it's all about. People had created many of their own gods in that time. And the way of distinguishing between God Almighty and the mampy-pampy gods that was created within civilization, they referred to the true Creator as the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, to be able to tell people what God they're speaking of. However, was that an exclusive crew that belonged to God? Was God only the God of Israel? No! God desired to be the God of Egypt. He desired to be the God of Canaan. He desired to be the God of everyone. That was His desire. Scripture says that the eyes of the Lord goes to and fro, looking for people that are willing to commit themselves to Him. Anyone, everyone, is our God. Our God's not only a God of justification. Our God's a God of justice. Yeah? Our God is not only into wiping your slate clean through Jesus Christ, giving you a new beginning. This very same God is a righteous judge, and He stands for what's fair and what's right in the world as well. Many people that have never experienced the power of God in their lives daily experience the justice of God. I can testify of this because I've experienced that. I wasn't saved my whole life. As one that persecuted the church, as one that hated the church, as one that wanted to have nothing to do with any one of you goody-two-shoes people, throughout my boring, mundane, disobedient life, I experienced the goodness of God because He's a God of justice. He stands for what's right and for what's wrong, irrespective of who's being influenced. First and most important pillar of truth is for us to realize that God is for us and God's for them. Let's come to the second pillar, man. Huh? Man. Even though we are in a sinful state, now I need to qualify the statement because Christians, this does not exclude you. Huh? We're ditching the exclusivity thing. This does not exclude you. Because Scripture says that when you see Him, you will become like Him. Which means that up to that time, we try to achieve a form of righteousness and a form of holiness. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. You're not righteous and you're not holy. You are trying to achieve a form of it. So Scripture says when you see Christ, you will become like Him. Then you will become perfect. Until that time, you have a sinful nature. Now, if someone doesn't agree with me, please pray for me after the service. Because I amen positively to the fact that as a Christian believer, I'm still in a fallen state. So whether it's me as a believer or someone that has never come to the saving knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ, you're in a sinful state. One thing remains true for all of us. We were created in His perfect image. Scripture says we were created in His image according to His likeness. Male and female, He created them. You see, the reality of this is that no one is too far from the reach of God. The reality is that every single person has been shaped, formed, put together in their mother's womb according to God's perfect desire, according to His likeness, tasked with a mandate. Mandate linked to your Creator, mandate linked to God. Some of us, we receive it, we walk in it. Some of us, we take a little bit longer. Everyone was shaped and formed perfectly with the task of fulfilling God's perfect will in their life. People, that means Everyone is part of God's plan A. I want to tell you that God has only got one plan. Eh? It's plan A. No plan B. No plan C. Nothing. He's got one plan. You know what? You're part of it. In reality, the person standing outside on the road who has not met Christ yet, he's part of it as well. He's still created in God's perfect image. The remnant offered to Jesus Christ. The toolbox of transformation. People came from the human race. Right? The remnant offered to Jesus Christ to bring change and transformation came from the human race. Everyone shaped and formed perfectly according to God's will. What does that mean for us as believers? Eh? That means that we do not serve people for what we can achieve and what we can become. I'm speaking to the believers now. We serve people irrespective of who they are because they are God's people. It's got nothing to do with us and what we can get out of it. We serve because of whose they are. And we show the same level and degree of respect to everyone. God's people. Here comes the third pillar, the shaky one. Shaky one, the church. The church. The church. We are not of this world, but we are in this world. Let me explain to you what not of this world means. This does not mean that you are all high and mighty, sit loft on your little altar because you are good. Of this world, simply means that we are not driven according to the statutes of the world. We're driven by the statutes of God. We are not of this world. We do not stand for what the world stands for. We have been sanctified, set aside for exclusive use by the Almighty. We've got a different set of standards that we uphold. It's called God's standards. So we are not of this world. But we would be deceived to think that we're not in the world, because where are you if you're not in the world? Where is the church then? Your own special New Jerusalem that no one knows of. We're in the world. We're in the world. Here comes a reality check for the modern church of today. Every secular organization has core ideology, beliefs, a mission statement, and a vision that they strive to fulfill every single day. Every secular organization has one. The church has the same thing. Core ideology, a mission statement, and a vision that we are meant to fulfill. We have a mandate that we're meant to fulfill. And as every secular organization fulfills theirs, we need to fulfill ours. Ours is different. Preserve and serve society without becoming part of the decadence of this day. You see, the mandate of the church is to take up their rightful corporate place in the world. The church is the only organization that exists for its non-members. Hey? Think about that. The church is the only organization that exists for its non-members. So now I want to say to you that the church cannot fall prey to what we can call an unbalanced social gospel. Big words, an unbalanced social gospel, i.e., one massive holy huddle. That's what it's called. If our mandate is to serve and preserve society, serve society, and take up our rightful place as an organization within this world, we cannot close our doors and become a holy huddle. We are an organization that exists for its non-members, which means that the church should have no walls. The church should have no door, because you should be able to come and go as you please. This should be your home. This is why we're here. This is our mandate. This is what we do. There's a church in Centurion. I always laughed at their name when I rode past. I was an unbeliever at the time. Lived in Centurion. Kerk sonder mure. Church without walls. I thought, what a stupid name. No, what a biblical name. Kerk sonder mure. A church without walls. We need to be what we're meant to be. We need to take up our rightful place in the world. Otherwise, we're ineffective. We need to be careful of the unbalanced social gospel. So easy to fall prey for that. Like-minded people, similar thinking, I like you, I got to know you. Come on. Let's not make the circle bigger. Yeah? Let's keep it to ourselves. Dangerous. Dangerous, dangerous. The fourth pillar, a fuller understanding of the gospel. A fuller understanding of the gospel. Salvation is not your private ticket to heaven. Salvation involves the entire human existence. Salvation is not about you. Salvation is about everyone. Christ's sacrifice on the cross gave us the gift of salvation. A gift that is free and a gift that's for all. Everyone has an equal right to that gift. Everyone has an equal right to Christ and to salvation. So salvation pertains to more than your private ticket to heaven. We cannot separate salvation from the cause and purpose of the kingdom. It's impossible to do that. A lot of people ask, well, what is the kingdom? Any of you sitting here wondering, what is the kingdom? Jesus spoke of it, they preach about it. What's the kingdom? I want to give you an example. You figure it out for yourself. I'm going to tell you how the kingdom is built. The kingdom is built one life at a time. Based on that, you can figure out what the kingdom's all about. What is the cause and what is the purpose of the kingdom? We cannot separate salvation from that. The kingdom strives on salvation. One life at a time. Coming to know Christ for who He is, receiving the gift of eternal life, God being God and us being His children. That is the kingdom. That's what it's about. We can't separate that too. We can't separate Jesus, our Savior, from Jesus, Lord of our lives. This is a difficult one. Because Jesus, our Savior, is great. We know what it's all about. We can't separate that from Jesus, Lord of our lives. Simple. When you receive Christ, Scripture says that you need to declare Jesus Lord of your life. You see, when you do that, and this is sometimes the reason why many stumble not too long after making this commitment, is they utter words that they don't understand. And you know what? There's grace for that, because I was one of them. I stood here and I said, Jesus, You're Lord of my life. Didn't have a cooking clue what I was talking about. Because when you say, Jesus, You're Lord of my life, you are saying, Jesus is Lord of your life. Ne? Alas, everything, everything. A lot of times we try to separate Jesus, our Savior, because that's nice and that's good, from Jesus and the lordship He has over our life, the surrender of our life in its entirety to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We can't do that. Because the Jesus that we let into our lives, He's Lord over Everything. Everything. Your marriage, your relationships, your work. He's Lord over everything and He wants it all. He wants it all. So we can't separate that two from each other. We can't focus on Jesus in church. And when I walk out here, Lord, You'll be Lord of my life again Sunday 4 o'clock. Doesn't work like that. Hey? It's when we strive for things like that. It's when we box Christianity. It's when we box God. It's when we box the power of Jesus Christ. You see how easy it is for us as believers to do this. To create this great divide that exists. I'm going to ask the band to come up. Moegepraat. And that is a miracle on its own if I'm tired of speaking. That is where it all goes wrong. The fifth pillar is a fuller understanding of Christ. I want to ask you a simple question. John chapter 17. You can remember what we read. Yeah? Did they even flight the scripture? Okay, they did. Otherwise, I'm telling you to read with me and you're reading some. No, you don't need to flight it now. Thanks, K.R. But you're reading some weird sermon title there. The fifth pillar is a fuller understanding of Christ. Before I go there, I want to ask you, can you see what I'm talking about out of John chapter 17? Is this making sense to you? You see where I'm drawing this from? I'm not sucking any of this out of my thumb. Everything I'm saying to you now is embedded within that prayer. A simple prayer, an outcry from Jesus to the Father. Hidden in it so much. Because everything I'm saying to you now, He addresses in that prayer. Here comes the ultimate pillar. A fuller understanding of Jesus Christ. Church, Jesus came into this world, identified with the world, so that He could identify with us, so that we could identify with the world. Jesus Christ came into this world to identify with it and to identify with us, so that we could identify with the world. I've got another question. The Jesus from the Bible, the Jesus we serve, the Jesus we know, is that the Jesus we portray every single day through our actions and through our lives? You see, it's never been about a numerical advantage. It's always just been about your and my ability to change and impact our various environments for the kingdom of God. Simple. Yet if we don't believe wholeheartedly that the God we serve is for them, then we can't do it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus Christ cries out to the Father for a simple thing. That we may be glorified in Him, so that He can be glorified in us, so that when He's glorified in us, Father God will be glorified. All that the Christian faith is about. We can't negotiate why we get it wrong, how we get it wrong, how we're going to get it right. Simple. We need to change our mindset. You know, all of us are Christians in society, eh? We're Christians in society. You know what that is? A Christian in the world. And if you do not have a fuller understanding of the five doctrines that are held before you now, we're going to struggle. Because the reality for us is we are Christians in the world. The Lord wants to fulfill so much through us. We just need to flip that coin. We just need to flip that coin. Look at things differently. You see, this big debate of the division is founded upon one thing. It's inclusivity and exclusivity. It's the same thing. You're either included, and when you're included, it's exclusive. It's a Christian country club. You know what? The membership fee is a bit too much for the people out there. And it's this exclusive nature, this division that we built where we believe God is for us and something phenomenal needs to happen in your life before you hear. Something phenomenal happened in their life ages ago when they were created, because they were created by the Almighty God. And that's phenomenal in its own right. Yeah? We need to change the way we think. Christians in society, we need to be effective. And now I want to flip the coin around. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I'm standing in faith that there's no choir here at the 6 o'clock service. Because it's not only us who's responsible for this divide, it's the secular as well. And as much as I'm preaching to brothers and sisters in Christ, and you hear the heart with which I say this to us as the church, there might be someone here that has not accepted Jesus Christ. There might be someone sitting here that is not in right standing with God. I wouldn't know. I look around, I see, and I know most of you. I know most of you are in a living relationship with Christ. But I'm going to share with you what I want to share with those that don't know Christ. Those that stand on the other end of the fence and throw stones over to us is wake up. Because this God that you are persecuting is the same God that created you. The same God that has a purpose for your life. The same God that would give His very best, being His Son, so that you could have eternal life. The same God that's prepared to purchase your life at a price. And I want to say to anyone that opposes the Christian faith in any form, whether it be one of these doctrines that you cannot make peace with. Usually it's the third one. Usually it's the church. That is the one that stirs the offense. That's the one that stirs the disappointment. That's the area that stirs the disagreement. I want to say to that individual tonight that Jesus Christ on the cross is for you as well. Every single one of those pillars are for you as well. I'm not going to justify why. I don't want to try to convince anyone why. You know why I want to do that? Because the world only needs to hear one thing. That they're allowed to be part of this club. You know, the moment someone sitting on the outside openly hears from another that you're allowed to be part of this, you see our hearts turn. Because we live in a world that saps us dry, that draws everything out of us, that steals, kills, and destroys. That's in the words of Christ Himself. And I can promise you at the very core of my understanding that there is not one person hanging onto the world saying, I want this. I do not know a person like that. You can put up your show. You can try to convince me. But so many on that side, they're crying out to be part of this. They're yearning to taste and see the goodness of Jesus Christ. A simple seed that has been sown into creation that says that God only works in one sphere. Oh, the enemy's been stealing from this world for a long, long time. He's convinced millions that they are not entitled to what we have. And I know that there's a few individuals sitting here tonight that I'm going to call the pillar for what it is. It's the church. Because the Spirit of the Lord is telling me that there's individuals sitting here tonight that that one pillar of truth rubs you up a bit wrong. And it's been giving you a distorted view of the Christian faith and of believers and what we stand for. You see, our time has also come to be a religion united, because we're not. And that's what makes us weak as Christians. Because we all fight for the same cause, but we don't agree on a single thing. It's because everyone has a perception of one of these pillars. Everyone has an offense linked to one of these pillars. Some of us believe that 4 out of the 5 is accurate, but there's one, no, it's not. All I want to do tonight is I want to say to those individuals, that pillar is for you as well. The moment you allow yourself to step away from yourself and allow Christ to show you what it is that's rubbing you up, and allow Him to bring healing, you can experience the fullness of the truth. In this passage, the last few verses, Christ cries out for unity. He's not crying out for an organizational unity. He's crying out for a spiritual unity. One through all subsequent generations. That's what Christ is asking for. He says, Father, may they be one in us as we are one in each other. That means no matter who or what you are, because Christ is not only praying for believers. Christ is praying for unbelievers here as well. And He cries out for the same thing. Father, may they all be one as we are one. May I be glorified in them. May they come to know that You have sent Me, so that I can give them eternal life. Christ cries out for unity. Not a church unity. A world unity. I'm going to ask you all to stand with me. Tonight's a simple message. An easy message to understand. I trust that everyone here got the heart of it. I trust that tonight, Lord, everyone here understands what it is that You desire from us. I really trust that tonight we were able to look past the various pillars in our life that rub us up in the wrong way and allow Christ to show us what His desire is. Sursum corda. Lift up your hearts to heaven. That's what that means. It's been the cry of Christians throughout ages. It's my cry for us as a church tonight. And we will lift up our heart to the heavens. That us as a church here tonight will be pioneers in breaking the division that we create in the world. I trust that what goes out here ripples throughout the universal body of Christ. That as the church united, we come to the realization that the God we serve is for us and is for those that's against us. Now that's hard to understand. In worldly terms, that's hard to understand. But it's that sets us apart. Surrendering ourselves to that reality. And there's nothing we can do to change this and make it easier for us. For the simple reason, that's God's heart. See, when Jesus prayed, it said, He lifted His eyes to the heavens and He spoke to the righteous Father. You see, there we get a snippet of Father and Son connect in an intimacy that's why it's my favorite passage of Scripture. One of the few times we get to see the full length of prayer. Son cry out to Father. Full length. Nothing shortened. We get to see what Christ petitions for. We get to see what's on the heart of Jesus Christ. You know, that tells us what's on the heart of God. He petitions for salvation for all. And He petitions for a spiritual unity. Church, as believers, we can't deny the rest of the world that. So we're going to worship one song together. And I'm going to ask you through this time of worship, just lay your heart down at the Lord's feet. Let Him embed in you a simple understanding of His heart's cry. So that you have the ability to lift up your heart to the heavens. Offer Him the opportunity tonight to settle His heart in yours. Because when we walk out by this door, things need to change.
Here we are.
Dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like